Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I would like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how are you doing over there? Dude, one of my favorite shows of the year. We got Boats in the Water,
Vroom.
Rooster Tails, Rex on the Blue Bridge. I mean, it is like, this is the weekend, right?
Yes.
Like some iconic Tri-Cities. You meet people from out of town and they're like, oh, I used to always go to my buddy's house and go to the boat races, right? So here we are, boat race weekend. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes. Do you know who's winning yet?
No.
No. Okay.
And even then, I wouldn't want to be a spoiler.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Okay. That's what we like. Well, and then I tell you what, we were getting into it a little bit last week, but I mean, pretty much like I just stopped checking, right? Like every day last week over 110 or... I mean, I don't know. It just
kind of all runs together.
It all kinds of runs together. So definitely for those out at the park this weekend and listening and stuff, be safe out there and use the sunscreen and stay hydrated because it is going to be a barn burner out there for
yes.
sure.
It's well, actually supposed to cool off by Monday or Tuesday.
A little bit. Back to the mere 90s. You know. So, you know, a massive cold front down to the 90s. So, So we always like to kind of theme up the show a little bit in honor of Boat Race Weekend. So I'm going to start it off with our national celebrity story. But this time... in honor of Boat Race Weekend, I'm not going very far from dirt.com. I'm going over to Seattle and I have a boat house.
Okay.
For sale. Now it's not the one, mind you. I know a lot of everybody, out there has seen, Sleepless in Seattle back in the 90s rom-com. Mm-hmm. It is not that one. That was bought by a tech company for a little bit more than $2 million. That actual one sold back in 2014. A very close neighbor to that though has come on the market, but get this, for $2.5 million. Now, granted, there's not a lot of these on the market, built originally back in the 70s, but has gone through quite an upgrade. It is docked in the Mallard Cove, right on the banks of Lake Union. So I think this like moorage spot is a huge part of the cost. 1,800 square feet, open living space, right on the, you can't get more on the water. You're actually on the water. And that is coming. It does come with HOA dues to cover mortgage fees and cleaning stuff, $475 per month. Technically, they call it a floating house rather than a houseboat because it is permanently moored and not really mobile. You're not like unhooking a button and firing this thing off out into Lake Union. But it puts you in just this absolutely incredible, amazing spot. Here's the thing, though, that it comes with and why a lot of people are after these, too, is because it also comes with a 34-foot boat slip. So you're getting the boat slip. You have two parking spaces in a garage. And an electric car charging station with this property. So your very own on the water houseboat, $2.485 million. And that is listed by Sotheby's. I misspoke. That is listed by Compass in Seattle. So that's our crazy boat-themed celebrity news story that we got for you. Before we totally jump into more of our Boat Race Weekend real estate show, we always like to go off with our local news story. And even though this has this is national implications, it's probably one of the bigger real estate stories of the week. And that was... the Fed meeting this week to once again review interest rates, and they bumped it up another, they call it 75 basis points. So another three quarters of a percent up in the short term federal funds rate, because they're still trying to control basically in what was said raging inflation at that point. Now, difference between this rate increase and the last one that sent mortgage rates spiking is that a lot of the bond market had already factored into current mortgage rates this three-quarter bump. There were rumors out there. There was speculation. Some people thought they were going to go as high as 1 point. If that had happened, I think we would have seen the mortgage rates spike back up. But it was fairly expected that this is what they were going to do. So it's
so really, they already factored in a preemptive
increase to the rates. So the market, you know, about a month ago had gone like the highest we had seen it. And it went, you know, where average rates were just up about 6% in June when we were looking at that. And now they're kind of back down closer to 5.5%. If you're looking like on a 30-year, roughly, these are averages there. And so with that, you know, we didn't see a huge bump the rest of this week, and a lot of companies had already factored that into. Now, good sign coming out of the Fed is that they're kind of balancing this, looking at the data, trying to slow the economy down to handle inflation versus the effect that this is going to have on the housing market, the mortgage industry, because we know for a fact from what we've seen is that we've seen, you know, the lowest number of basically purchased mortgages. It's been year over year, it's down about 18%.
Wow.
Over the previous year as far as demand for mortgage purchases. And then there's just been a slew of news nationally out there of mortgage companies laying people off, downsizing, real estate companies downsizing and laying people off. As we talked about on previous shows, in an area like Tri-Cities, where we're still one of the top 10 markets likely to not lose value over the next 10 years, still kind of running hot and heavy here with low inventory and high demand. But we're not 100% insulated from these mortgage rate increases, because a large portion of, say, the lending business was refinances. Right now, not a lot of refinances happening. So even mortgage and title companies locally, some of them will be forced to make some staff changes out there just because there's less refi business. But on a national level, it's way worse than it is here. So basically, the Fed coming in at what we thought they would come in at, business as usual, we were happy to see that. A lot of buyers able to still put things under contract with some creative terms out there. There are some programs out there where you can use some seller-based closing costs to buy the rate down, for say. There's loan programs coming out now that is a stepped rate, to where like you buy the rate down at year one, then it goes slightly up in year two. And then year three, you settle in at the standard rate. So we're starting to see some incentives in the market. Now, that per se is not considered an adjustable rate mortgage, because the borrower is approved on the final amount in year three. So, but what there as an incentive, what some sellers are offering is like, hey, we know rates are 5.5. We're going to put you in at a 4.9% year one, 5.25 year two, and then year three, you'll go to 5.5. Essentially, what that incentive is basically you can look at it as the seller prepaying the interest for the buyer in that situation. So, you know, whatever works best in that situation to help the buyer and seller put the deal together, lower payments maybe in the first year. We're seeing some very, very creative programs come out of as a result of these interest rate changes. So, McKay, now the fun stuff. Boat race weekend, okay? You've always heard the stories. We're talking iconic Tri-Cities properties. And we're going to talk a little bit about waterfront properties today because that's our theme for boat races and what we're going after. And
yes,
you all know, I mean, Canal Drive up there, I mean, there's about 40 houses that are iconic. And in fact, when I say that, there's a number of listeners that are saying, oh, yep, we always went to the Andersons to watch fireworks. We always went to the Smiths to watch the boat races. You know those houses, you know those parties. And some of that really comes down to a big thing that we see in the market right now. And I've been seeing a lot of people out there talking about that. And that's emotional reasons people buy. You know, and I've got a lot I've got a lot of people that have said, like, hey, we're gonna, you know, we're gonna downsize now that we've raised our family and we had our, you know, 3,500 square foot box house that was close to schools and in the area we wanted to be at. Now that the kids are all gone and I don't care about what school they go to, I want to just go enjoy a great view up on the hillside, or I want to go to the water, you know, and I want to enjoy a view on the water. And so I don't need a huge yard anymore. I don't need to worry about a fence and someone can, you know, run down to the shoreline and someone's not going to drown or something, you know, something like that. All of these considerations that change as the season of life changes. And it really comes down to like emotional reasons why we're seeing people buy those type of properties. And waterfront is a big one of those. Like,
yes,
you might be very interested in entertaining. And we all know that area, like, for instance, the Pasco side of the water from the Blue Bridge headed west, you know, up to the Richland Bridge, you know, and then all the way into North Richland, where then you get both houses on the waterfront on the Pasco side and the Richland side. And so when we look at that corridor, people are always asking me, like, how am I going to get, you know, how am I going to get into one of those houses? How many of those are available? Well, there's a lot of things to take into consideration when you look at that. And that is, what purpose are you looking for? That's the biggest thing. Is it just the view? Because that's one thing in one type of property if we're just looking for the view. Is it access to the water?
Ooh.
So now, like, do you actually have access down to the water? And then if we go a step further with that access to the water, does the property have a dock? So then a lot of people, when you really dig into it, unless you've talked to somebody that's really been through that process, you know, they don't quite understand exactly how all that works, when in fact, you know, those docks that are on the Columbia River, for instance, fall under what's called the McNary Shoreline Plan. And so they are governed by that plan. And when you look at those waterfront homes and stuff, they only, you know, deeded own to what's called like the high water survey mark. And so when you look at that, I'd say just in rough, it changes because it's water and the high water mark changes. But just for argument's sake, let's say roughly that first 25 to 30 feet of the shoreline, you're going to find that homeowner does not own that property. That property is controlled by the Army Corps of Engineers. So they control the permits to those docks over there. They control the access over that property. And if you want to find out a great way to go to federal prison, cut down one of those trees on that area. That's not your property to do that. So, you know, I say that jokingly, but a lot of people, you know, I hope at some point in that purchasing scenario, they have a real estate agent that's familiar with that, that's been through that process, that knows what that looks like and can give them some guidance. Because we find in the market, there's a lot of misinformation with what's going on out there with shoreline, with waterfront property. So to give an example, just for fun, that's what I love about this show is every time this year when we have the boat races and it gives me a great excuse to talk about the water. McKay, I went back in the last year and I pulled up some data on Columbia River frontage houses that have sold in the last year where you were right on the water of the Columbia. McKay, give me the record-setting price for a riverfront house sold in the last 12 months?
$1.75 million.
God, I love it, McKay. You're so wrong. You are absolutely so wrong this time. And normally you've been schooling me. And I will tell you, this is a shocker out there. Not in the MLS, off market.
Oh.
But in the assessor, you know, pulled straight out of assessor records, there was on the Pasco side last year, and it was a bigger house, over 5,000 square feet, but there was one newer, you know, so there'd been a huge remodel and stuff done, modern architecture, and that sold for $3.8 million. That's in Tri-Cities, folks. Like, in Tri-Cities, really, by a lot of categories, record-setting waterfront. Now, it had a dock, so it had the permits. It was modern. It had had a lot of updates. It had a pool. I mean, when we look at that checklist, huge garage, lots of storage area, superb landscaping, iconic property, and sold for $3.8 million. So the next question would be, Lance, well, maybe that was an anomaly. Maybe that was just that one so far outside of, you know, what's possible or what's happening that where, you know, you shouldn't even be talking about that on the radio show.
Well, it was off market, you said.
Well, it was off market, and it was a very special piece of property. I will give you that. But it was quite a year, the last 12 months for waterfront property, because on top of that, just down the street from that one on the Pasco side, we also had another closed sale come in on the waterfront at almost $3 million, 2.99. I mean, these numbers are, I mean, just blow you back in your seat. Once again, here you go. Another property with dock, with upgraded dock access. Beautiful property. Large again. We talked about square footage. This one coming in at over 7,000 square feet on Shoreline Court over there. And also very, very well done. A little bit older on this one, though. Originally built 2005, but iconic. So what a lot of people are saying is there's only so many of these properties available. And then when we look at the docks, I'd have to go back and double check. I've been in the meetings before with the Corps of Engineers, so I'm pretty close on this, but I believe the number is right at only 100 docks permitted for this section of the river, private docks permit. And once they've met that threshold, that number, there's not exceptions to that number. Like, that number doesn't change. And so last time I checked, there was only, like, I want to say what I heard at the last meeting, there was only three of those left, and they already had permits in for, like, at least two of them. So in all actuality, you're not going to see that change very much on the shoreline. So the only way you're going to get access to that is by purchasing one of those properties with an existing dock permit and then having that transferred to the new owner. And so when you hear numbers like this on these properties, part of what you're getting is the right to have that dock permit. And that is becoming a factor with those houses. The appraisers look at it. I get calls from a number of these appraisers all the time, and they're saying, Lance, you know, based upon what you've seen in the market, what you've seen sold and purchased, what do you feel like that X factor of the dock is? And so I talk through that with appraisers, and we go back and forth, but it's a, depending upon where you're at in the river, we're not talking, you know, we're not talking 40, 50, 60,000. We're talking like a couple $100,000 differences in these prices, depending upon where you're at the river. Now, before we come back, the next one, you're like, Lance, you're telling about me about these solds. Well, when we come back in the pick three, not my listings. So here's what you're getting. You're getting a special boat race pick three. I just pulled actives. There are other agents in the market that have these listed right now. When you come back, I've got a couple active you can buy on the Columbia River right now. Let's look at what those prices. Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We have been talking our boat race weekend show, McKay. We always get a little bit excited about the water, iconic Tri-Cities properties.
Yep, riverfront properties,
we've been talking about views, riverfront properties, emotional reasons for buying, a lot of the things that make Tri-Cities just awesome. So I'm going to get to our pick three real quick. Before I get to some of these riverfront properties, I'm going to give you just a Kenmore team pick three here. 6001 Curlew Lane in Pasco. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath with a den, just over 2,000 square feet. Great room layout. You've got awesome kitchen with tons of counter space, stainless steel appliances, private master suite, dual sink vanities. Fully fenced backyard, and that's coming in at $455,000. So just right of just slightly above that average price point here for Tri-Cities. Now, McKay, when it's 115 degrees, you probably want a pool. So pick number two, 3100 South Everett Place. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath, all-brick home with an in-ground pool to cool off because it's going to be like this. Ask Al Gore. We have global warming. It's not going to get cooler. So 2,808 square feet. We've got a large main living area, ample natural light, just a big, bright kitchen, built-in double oven. Downstairs, you've got a family room, fourth bedroom, just absolutely great, great entertaining space. Lots of yard space for garden and activities, off-street, RV parking, one-third of an acre, fully fenced. And that's coming in at $440,000, you're getting all that. And then we have released another fantastic build with Ambiance Homes out in Blacktop Estates, Benton City. Four bedroom, two bath. This is one of the premier lots, third acre lot, quartz counters, 1,500 square feet, LVP flooring throughout. And that's coming in at $435,000. Brand new construction. So I really just hit for you this week. I mean, that low to mid 400s. We have some great, great inventory out there. Now, McKay, I can't get you on the water for the low to mid 400s, but we do have our boat race weekend picks here, and we talked about some of the record-setting sales prices for some homes out there. There is an active. You will not be able to see the boat races from this property, but I've got Riverfront Active 10124 Court Street. Title of this from the other agent is Masterpiece Along the Columbia. Super large home, 7,600 square feet with a pool.
Ooh, that's big.
Right on the river with a lot of high quality built-ins on this property. But here's where we're coming in at this thing. They've got this thing listed at $2.5 million, $2,499,000. Now, that's active, folks, not sold, but that is the asking price. It does has an amazing yard, amazing landscaping, beautiful private entrance up to the house. And so if that would be something you would be interested in seeing or checking out, you can go to kenmoreteam.com, give us a call. We would love to show you that property. Now, pick number two, another active along that same stretch of the Columbia River.
Okay.
11300 West Court Street, a little bit closer to the bridge. So almost to the Richland Bridge down there for the locals out there. I don't know what you guys call it. I call it the cement bridge. You know what I'm referring to out there. So there's a property out there listed active $1.99 million, basically coming in at the $2 million mark, 3,700 square feet.
That's pretty big.
And built in 91. Now those views down there, you get a little bit of that Delta view down there. So where you got the Yakima dumping in there, big, you know, it's almost like a lake view at that point. So pretty cool property as well. And so there are some actives out there. Now, just for information's sake, we've talked about buying on the water before. We talked about worrying about your dock permits. Has the dock been upgraded to newer standards to meet Army Corps of Engineers standard? If not, you've got to go through an engineering process. You're going to have to go through an archaeological survey for those improvements. And this process could take up to 2 years if those upgrades are needed. So when you're looking at those, making those considerations, those are some things to consider. We also, you want to consider your view corridors with properties like this. What is the vegetation like at that property? Because as we mentioned before, you don't control that last, you know, roughly 30 feet or so of shoreline. So any sort of big trees in that area, any sort of vegetation, that's going to be left natural. So those things are likely not going to stop growing.
Yeah.
And so you just want to pay attention when you're looking at purchasing. What are the trees on the property? What height are they like? And you're going to have different views. Your winter view is going to be different than
your summer view.
So if you're buying in the winter and there's no leaves on those trees, it's just going to be a consideration. Sometimes people rush into these things. Don't take view corridors and time of year into consideration. So I put that on the list also to make sure that people were paying very, very close consideration to that. The other thing is also is access to the river, access to docks, public access. How far away is public access if you don't have direct access? Mm-hmm. How far away is public access to say a park or a boat launch, those types of situations? And then also, where can you build on that lot? Because you're going to have shoreline setbacks. If you're looking at certain properties, say especially along like the Yakima River, you're going to be dealing with what they call floodplain elevations. A lot of times you might have a 10-acre piece of property that is selling along the Yakima River, but only say the last 2 acres are high enough that they're actually buildable.
Because
a portion of that lot could lie down in the floodplain and you won't be able... you won't be able to build down there, or if you do, there will be no flood insurance available.
Yeah.
So these are the types of questions that you need to be looking at, considering when you're accessing that. Also, just kind of ballpark numbers. So I ran that 1 year report, sold waterfront homes, and so we've got a variety on here. It isn't necessarily all with docks or all with boathouses, some mixed in without. But just for an example of what we were looking at last year, 43 waterfront sales. So a significant amount turned over.
That's not bad.
43 of those sales with the low being $375,000, and this was basically for a one-room shack that was going to be tore down, McKay, to the high that we talked about of the 3.85 million. Now, when you break that down, price per square foot, you're looking at an average of just under $300 a square foot. So a lot of people sometimes like to make that, say like, well, what's it going to take to be on the water and what's that going to look like? Mm-hmm. And I mean, a great example of this is one of those comps recently sold there for $799. And it was also right there on Court Street, 1962 built, not a lot of upgrades. Unsure if even there was a functioning, or how do I say this? We're not exactly sure of the full disclosure of the septic tank issue.
Oh, okay.
Now there's sewer right in the street, so you can hook up to it and there's all kinds of things going on, but there's a property that's close to a teardown in that situation, and selling within days, within 2 or 3 days of being listed, over list price for that $799 mark. So, and there was also, I'm not even including in these, I only included existing residences, There were some lots that sold at auction last year right along that corridor as well. So a ton of action on waterfront in Tri-Cities over the course of the last 12 months. In fact, all the years I've been doing this and bringing that to the show, I really think this is some of the most, you know, volume of action that we've had on those waterfront properties. So I think a lot of that has to do with the COVID effect and kind of a boomerang here of people are like, hey, I've always wanted to live on the water. Now we've had a, you know, now we've had a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic, and it puts a lot of things in perspective. And so I think you saw a lot of people transitioning, some from other markets, some from out of town, and kind of finally pulling the trigger on some of those iconic waterfront type
things they wanted to do were sped up.
And so the rest of the nation has seen a lot of that happen. We have, we've talked about the Idaho effect, but we've seen it here in Tri-Cities as well with those properties. So those of you that are out there for boat races, partying at those houses on the river with your amazing friends that are hosting and families that are hosting, enjoy that time. Enjoy one of the biggest weekends that we have here in Tri-Cities.
Yes.
Be safe, have fun with the boats out there, and really, you know, this is always just kind of a showcase event for some of the best that Tri-Cities have to offer. We love being here, seeing that those type of things happen, and we can't wait till, I know we're back next weekend, don't worry, but I also can't wait till next year's boat race show as well. Have fun out there on the water. Happy boat race weekend.
Right here from News Talk 870.